From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, November 1st, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We've got a lot of news that looks at the kinds of masquerades and other things that are being done to scare people. Of course, we just finished with Halloween. That's what that holiday is based on. But the other 364 days of the year, there's a lot of that going on by the government. And we're going to look at some of the examples of that. Take a look at this story, for example. We've got a prosecutor who went absolutely crazy over fake spiders. They put up some decorations in the office back the 5th of October. And what makes this interesting is this is the same prosecutor who went after a West Virginia 8th grader. He was suspended. Then he was arrested. Why? Because he had an NRA t-shirt with a rifle pictured on it. A picture of a rifle. So you get arrested, you get suspended, you get a gag order slapped on you by this prosecutor. And then what happens when he sees some plastic spiders in the office? He goes absolutely crazy. He pulls out a real gun, not a picture of a gun, not a plastic gun, a real gun, and starts waving it around the office. They say the prosecutor, the alleged incident happened on October 5th. After several secretaries in the office decorated for Halloween, the decorations included many fake spiders throughout the office. They said they had, he said, there's fake spiders everywhere. He said, this isn't funny. I can't stand this. And he pulled out a gun. Now, they say that there was no magazine in it, but the secretaries don't know if there's any magazine in it. Scared them to death, three of them. And so the person writing this for the NRA says, sounds to me like three counts of brandishing a weapon at a minimum. Or maybe assault with a deadly weapon at a maximum. In any event, it's clear this prosecutor, Mr. White, lacks the temperament and discernment to be safe with a firearm. Maybe that's why he's so scared of pictures of rifles, yet he has one. And that's the kind of thing we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about global warming. We're going to be talking about the Department of Transportation setting up a national address database to get insights into you. And guess what? They're talking about geospatial intelligence. What do we tell you about Jade Helm? What do we tell you about geospatial intelligence? It's the largest growing field of intelligence, mapping you, mapping your behavior, looking at your activity, using that to put you into a threat matrix, which they will then label you algorithmically with some artificial intelligence, not necessarily generalized intelligence, but artificial intelligence nevertheless. You will be labeled by a computer as to whether or not you're a threat, and they may send out some real officers if they think that you're a threat. This is something that you really should be afraid of. So we're going to be looking at a lot of different things today. What should you be afraid of? What should you not be afraid of? And, of course, we're going to be talking to Alex Jones in the second hour. He's going to be contacting us and giving us his take on this Islamic State claim to have shot down a Russian airliner over the Sinai Peninsula. And it's looking, from latest reports, they are saying that it looks like this airplane exploded in midair. That would be an indication that it was hit by a missile or exploded by a bomb internally, because you get a large footprint of debris when something blows up in midair, just like we saw with United Flight 93 on 9/11. There was a large debris field, about 8 miles, it's reported, by eyewitnesses there. When you see something like that, it indicates that it's been exploded in midair, that it did not explode on impact with ground. And that appears to be what the case is with this Islamic claim. Perhaps they did shoot this down with a surface-to-air missile. That would be very worrying if these terrorists have been provided with that now in addition. But we have seen this war continue to escalate. We see other wars are escalating. Of course, the American government is pushing the envelope everywhere in the world, confronting everyone, trying to raise threat levels everywhere. We see this in NATO drills around Sicily. And the Sicilian people are rioting and saying, Sicily is not a war lab. Hundreds of people took to the street to complain about the fact that there is a massive NATO military maneuver. I guess, though, they were not called conspiracy theorists like the people who pushed back against a massive military maneuver here in the United States, labeling areas of the United States as hostile. Everyone knows that these kinds of drills are provocative. We feel it's provocative if the Iranian Navy comes to the Atlantic, which they've announced they're going to do. And when we do it up to the Russians' border, they consider that to be provocative. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
From the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Radio Show. I'm David Knight, your host, on this Sunday, November 1st, 2015. 2015 is nearly over. It's been going very quickly, and in many ways, not going very well. I just talked about a story that was highlighted by the NRA about a prosecutor who had come down incredibly hard on a student just because he had a picture of a gun. It was an NRA t-shirt. He had a picture of a gun. Then we find, in response to some plastic Halloween spiders, this prosecutor in West Virginia absolutely loses it, pulls out a pistol and starts waving it around with three secretaries there. That's the kind of out-of-control government that says that they're going to protect us. Don't seem to be able to understand where the real threats are. And incredibly irresponsible, incredibly unstable themselves. Just like this blimp fiasco that we saw this last week that cut loose. And they're saying, this event raises questions about the value and the reliability of the JLens program. You think? I mean, this is a $3 billion program. Absolute joke. Especially, not just the fact that it broke, that it drugged this tether through the Northeast, taking power out for 27,000 people, I think it was, and ultimately crashing. No, that's bad enough. But when you think about the fact this is the very program that they say is going to protect the Capitol area. Back in a couple of months ago, Colonel Frank Rice told CBS, actually it was in February, he says, we are in the NCR, the National Capital Region. Sounds really official, doesn't it? When the Pentagon puts those names on it. He says, it is our geopolitical center of power in the United States, and we must protect it. So they put a blimp up with these things that they can't even keep tethered. And it's even worse than that, because that was in February. Then on April 15th, remember that guy who got a gyrocopter and he flew it through all the protected airspace and landed it on the lawn of the White House? Remember that? That was a failure of JLens. And when the members of Congress wanted to know, how in the world could that happen without anybody being notified? How could somebody fly this gyrocopter all that distance and then through Washington and land it on the west lawn of the of the Capitol building, not the White House, it says here. How could they do that? I think it was the White House. It says of the U.S. Capitol. I think they mean the White House. Was it the White House? Anyway, they say they want to know how that happened. And they said, well, JLens was inoperable that day. I don't know if the cable had been cut and they were trying to get it back on April the 15th or what the deal was. But there you go. See, we're told that we have to sacrifice all of this blood and treasure. We have to sacrifice the Constitution. We have to sacrifice the rule of law. We have to sacrifice all of our God-given rights for national security. National security. And of course, national security isn't your safety or my safety. It's continuity of government, and they can't even do that. Can't even do that. $3 billion for a blimp. Like I said on the nightly news, that's inflation for you, isn't it? $3 billion for a blimp, and they can't even keep it tied to the ground. Or you can take this instance here of the Oregon TSA agents forcing a 90-year-old woman to take off her shirt and bra after a full body scanner picked up a secret pocket in her lingerie. Because, you know, they can have their secrets, but if you've got a secret pocket, even if there's nothing in it, you got to strip as a 90-year-old lady. And her son, who's 67, says airport screeners made his elderly mother remove all of her clothing above the waist. Harriet Charney of Virginia had sewn a secret pocket into her bra to keep extra cash, and the TSA body scanner picked that up. Now, the TSA says, well, no, that's not the case. We didn't ask her to disrobe. Look, this is why you need to record this yourself. This is why you need to get your camera going, because they're not going to give you access to their cameras. Or they'll put you in an area where there are no cameras so they can do what they want to you. And of course, as proof of this, as proof that they did not do anything, the TSA says, well, that's not TSA screening procedures. That's not our MO. Well, you know what? We have a Fourth Amendment that they ignore all the time. So what do the TSA screening procedures mean? I mean, ultimately, if you're going to violate the document that you swear to get your authority, If you're going to violate that as a matter of routine policy, then if you've got no constitution, and then why would they care about any other policies that you've got? And that's really where we are at this point. You know, as we're looking at some of the things that people are putting out, of course, I actually follow Hillary Clinton on Twitter because sometimes there's some really funny things like this. Now, people, I know this is a radio show and you can't see this picture, so I'll try to describe it. It looks like Hillary has identified the staffer who is responsible for these leaks. There she is right there. Can you see that picture there? Actually, it's a little girl. It's a toddler. And she's got a briefcase that says Senator's Briefcase. And Hillary looks really creepy in this, almost kind of Biden-esque. She's got both hands on this little girl's shoulder, and she's leaning way forward, which makes her head look a lot larger in the camera. And I tweeted that back to her, and I said, if she gives you an apple, don't eat it. Actually, I can't take credit for that. That was my son's comment, so it was really funny. But when I looked at that, and I thought, you know, this is so typical. Everybody knows that Hillary Clinton is doing everything she can to make herself look normal, to look approachable. There was a thing from The Onion, which definitely leans left, and they had a pseudo-editorial from Hillary Clinton said, I am fun. I'm fun. I enjoy fun. I both have fun and can be fun. Fun is a word that accurately describes me and a large quantity of things of which I'm fond. I appreciate fun when I encounter it, and I have been known to partake in activities that produce fun for myself and others. Fun is something I have when amongst a group of people. Thus, I am a fun person. It goes on and on. And then it winds up with this very long. But he says, I have completed my argument, but I would like to reiterate the fact that I take pleasure in having fun and being fun, just like the majority of Americans. Now that I've presented adequate evidence for the existence of my fun, accessible nature, there'll be no need to revisit this subject going forward. Thank you. And that's exactly the way she responded in the Benghazi trials. That they nailed her, I think, to the T. And of course, the White House has their Halloween party with costumes and prizes. And the one who won there was a toddler who's dressed up like the Pope. Because who has scared more people in 2015 than the Pope? And he did it along with Obama, you know, partners in scaring people. I think they scared more people and telling us with their tricks that they want us to treat the globalists to an open season on our wallets here. That's precisely what he's got there. And you can see the pictures if you're looking at this. A little kid, a little toddler, dressed up as the Pope. Well, the climate change is really the scare that we have to be concerned about. Of course, this is where they're coming. And this week we had global bishops calling for complete decarbonization by 2050. And you got to ask yourself, you know, there's a lot of conservative Catholics who are saying, why is this the number one priority of the Catholic Church? Why is it their only concern, quite frankly? That seems to be the only concern right now of the Catholic Church. And so now you've got the bishops last Monday appealed for a breakthrough at the coming Paris climate talks. This is coming up next month, folks. This is where they're going to try to run this all together. This is where they're going to try to get this slammed through with the president. And I've got an amazing update on that for you in the next article here. But this is what they're saying. They want not only a drastic reduction in the emission of carbon dioxide and other toxic gases, quote unquote, carbon dioxide and other toxic gases. This is why you don't let bishops do science. This is why you don't let them dictate to you. Carbon dioxide is not a toxic gas. Okay, that's what you breathe out. It's what I'm breathing out right now as I talk to you. They say they want to end the fossil fuel era. Well, you know, again, many of us believe, and I'm one of them, that this whole fossil fuel thing is a bunch of nonsense. I don't think it's something that was invented by the CIA, the whole idea of peak oil. Fossil fuel is created from organic material, and I don't think it is something that we're running out of. I've shown before, a couple of times, quite frankly, I've shown before, it was either Newsweek or Time magazine, and it was during the Carter administration when everybody was freaking out because of the shock that had been put through the system by the Saudis, and they said, we're going to be running out of oil. And they have charts showing that, and this was in 1979, we were going to be out of oil within 8 years. Mid-80s, we're going to be out of oil. And that was the narrative at that point. When we come back, I'm going to tell you something that you really need to be afraid of, the stealth UN agenda for climate change. We'll be right back. That's the name of the game.
crushing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Sunday, November the 1st, 2015. As we went to break, I was telling you what the global bishops were calling for. They said complete decarbonization by 2050. Think about that. They don't want any emissions of carbon dioxide. So I guess by 2050, we're all going to be holding our breath. Maybe we could start with the global bishops who don't know what they're talking about. They say they want a drastic reduction. This is a quote, a drastic reduction in the emission of carbon dioxide and other toxic gases. Well, that's coming up in 2050, but now I guess you could say first they came for the pumpkins. We had the EPA warning us about the pumpkins, and I've got a great film here of Alex taking it on himself to smash pumpkins to save us from these evil pumpkins that the EPA says are going to destroy the earth. Before I do, real quickly, just as a lot of people were going door-to-door yesterday getting food, if we have a crisis, you don't want to have to do that from your neighbors if you're not prepared. Right now, we've got a sale on InfoWars Select Storable Food, 10% off the complete line, as well as free shipping. This is our introduction to InfoWars Select. Again, this is food that is made in the USA. Even the packaging is made in the USA. InfoWars Select Food lasts for 25 years. It's got absolutely the best packaging in the industry. We use military-grade barrier against light, oxygen, moisture, keeping that out of the pouches, and once you open these pouches, if you don't use everything, you can reseal it. So it'll last in its original condition for 25 years, and then even after you open it, you can reseal it for a while. Again, use the promo code FOOD at checkout for 10% off and a huge discount of free shipping. You can get that right now at InfoWarsStore.com. That's our InfoWars Select Storable Food. It's an extended sale. As I pointed out, the EPA is worried about, I guess, maybe some of these other toxic gases that the bishops are talking about would be methane. I mean, if definitely methane is more toxic smelling than CO2 is. But they've told everybody that pumpkins create a lot of garbage when you smash them, so you shouldn't do that. So Alex takes it upon himself to smash these evil pumpkins. Here's that cut.
It's all true. The Energy Department, I have the documents here. The Energy Department says the pumpkins are causing climate change. We need to eradicate the world of these orange beasts. They're going to ruin us. We're all going to die. We're all going to die.
Oh my God, look at these small ones. We can't let them mature. We have to get them now.
The Energy Department says that pumpkins are evil and they're causing climate change. We need to eradicate them from the world. We need to save the universe now! We need to get rid of all these evil pumpkins! They're gonna destroy humanity for the future and forever and for your children! Destroy them! We're gonna smash them into oblivion so they don't exist anymore! We'll get rid of them like the dodo bird!
There's a report out today where the EPA is smashing pumpkins in a new video advertisement saying plants are bad because they increase the carbon footprint. They are now smashing pumpkins, and they're coming out and saying that sunlight is bad for the earth.
I'm bringing these to Alex. He'll know what to do. He'll know what to do with them. I'll follow any order. Doesn't matter how insane. Master, I have the enemy. I have the enemy. Oh no! Look at these evil pumpkins! They have come from beyond to ruin the biosphere!
Good, Green Police, good! You, working with the other politically correct people, banning the word mother and father, and banning Halloween costumes, yes, have proven how liberal you are! Now, just relax for a moment. Go assemble the enemy over there for execution. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not satire. The Energy Department and others have called for cutting down trees en masse, living trees, and smashing and destroying pumpkins and not letting people grow pumpkins because they put off carbon dioxide. So do your part. Anything carbon emitting, whether it's your French bulldog or your grandmother, follow the example and the orders of our loving saviors at the Department of Energy. Public education has trained you well. Look at you, a servile, mindless, unscientific idiot giving us total power over all human life, paying money directly to Al Gore, George Soros, and Barack Obama, and the climate exchanges, as well as Lord Rothschild. My minion, you understand by training people that pumpkins should be destroyed. We're training them that you will be destroyed, you worthless crap. So, without further ado, I, the noble eugenicist, will take out the enemy of the people via crossbow. Eat this, Charlie Brown, in your Halloween party. The enemy will fall. It's incredibly important to take out the adult carbon criminals and the adolescents. But it's the babies that can grow up and resist us. Just like at Planned Parenthood, they can also fetch a nice price for their parts. China, unfortunately, just shut down our one-child policy the day the Rockefellers set up. We're having some failures. But not for long. Bring in that mama right now. Good. There's always new enemies to fight. Carbon's everywhere on this planet. It's almost like we're carbon-based life forms. And just when they thought they were safe, I found another one. I mean, it's psychotic to say that pumpkins are evil and should be killed. This is a carbon-based life form as well. And that's what they're demonizing. They're setting the precedent that all life is bad because it exhales carbon dioxide, or it puts off carbon dioxide. This is total insanity, and that's why we're here exposing it at InfoWars.com.
Yes, again, that was Alex Jones destroying the pumpkins that the EPA says we need to be afraid, very afraid of. Now, you need to understand what you really need to be afraid of. You need to not be afraid of pumpkins, but you do need to be afraid of a global Supreme Court. That's one of the things that appears to be coming out of the imminent UN climate summit in Paris. Now, remember that it was about 6 years ago where they had a conference in Copenhagen that failed to lock down any significant agreements, as they point out. They say that 5 days of negotiation in Bonn last week underscored deep divisions, including disagreements over who should pay for renewable energy sources, and listen to this, who should be tasked with making sure that countries uphold their green pledges. So, see, there has to be a transference of wealth, and there has to be an enforcement mechanism, and it has to be global. This is about global governance. It is about crony capitalism, but it is also about setting up global governance. This article from New American breaks this down. They say the official draft of the climate treaty for the soon-to-start UN climate summit in Paris proposes to establish a global Supreme Court that would rule on issues like climate justice, climate finance, technology transfers, and climate debt. And we're going to break that down when we come back for you. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the second hour to talk about the airliner that was shot down over Egypt. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
Everything turned. There is a season turned.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. Alex will be joining us in the second hour. He wants to particularly come in and talk about what's going on with this Russian airliner that was presumably shot out of the sky or blown out of the sky over Egypt. What's behind that? Alex is going to be with us breaking that down in the second hour. We just played a satire piece that he and Buckley did with Smashing Pumpkins, not the group, but the idea that the EPA is trying to sell us that methane gas from decaying pumpkins is threatening the climate of everyone. I don't think that's the case. And quite frankly, though, they're going to be making the case for global governance, for a massive transfer of wealth and power coming up in just about a month. And again, they failed when they tried to do this in Copenhagen back in 2009. Now, 6 years later, this is what the push is about. And of course, that's the reason why the Pope came here, was to push for this. He met with the president, he met with the Congress, he addressed and kept putting as the number one priority climate change. And now we have global bishops calling for complete decarbonization by 2050, trying to build the hysteria for this coming conference in Paris. It'll be November 30th to December the 11th. Now, New American has broken this down. On page 19 of the 34-page document is a call for establishing an international tribunal of climate justice. Remember the previous article that I read to you from AFP was saying, well, we have a question. Who's going to be tasked with making the countries comply? Well, here's your answer. It's going to be a tribunal of climate justice hereby established to address cases of noncompliance. There you go. And that's going to involve essentially a global Supreme Court that will rule on issues like climate justice, climate finance, technology transfers, climate debt. How are they going to indebt you? Well, here's how that's going to work out. What's up with that, or what's up with that, is the climate blog. And they point this out. They say it's getting even difficult for economically illiterate leaders to swallow this. They say they're starting to balk at the prospect of borrowing money from China, right? Because they're the ones who are financing most of what we're doing. We're selling most of our T-bills to China. So anything that the federal government is going to do and spend massive amounts of money, massive amounts of new money that they're going to spend on this, is going to be financed by China because they're the ones who are buying our debt from the Federal Reserve. So we're going to borrow this money from China. Then we can gift the principal that we just borrowed back to China as a climate development assistance. Then repay that loan back to China a second time with interest. You see how it works? See how they take us down very quickly? Because not only are they going to make us borrow the money twice and pay China twice with interest on this, China gets the factories and we get the shaft. Basically, we get the debt. We get the jobs closed down. We get high electricity rates because this is going to be dictated from a position of global governance. Now, they're pointing out this is an organization, CFACT, Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. They said on October 23rd, over 130 developing nations led by South Africa and instigated by China and India are insisting that they will not sign a climate agreement in Paris unless it contains massive redistribution of wealth from developed to poor countries. Now they want the power to haul the U.S. and its allies before a U.N. star chamber to enforce compliance. That's precisely what this is all about. There'll be a star chamber to enforce compliance. There'll be a massive transfer of wealth. We'll be borrowing money from China and then giving more economic credits to China and then paying them twice for this loan. Interestingly enough, Vladimir Putin is not having any of this. He's come out and said there is no global warming, that this is a fraud to restrain the industrial development of several countries, including Russia. Yeah, it's a fraud that's being perpetrated against us. It's also being perpetrated against many countries, where Russia is one of them. But, of course, our leaders are part of that fraud that's being perpetrated. They're in on it. Look at this revelation. You think you believe in man-made global warming. You think that the gas from pumpkins, you think that the air that we breathe out that is used by all plants, they breathe in carbon dioxide, and then they turn out oxygen. That's kind of the way that it works, really. Folks, look it up. But you think that that's the problem. You think that it's man-made, if you think that there's climate change, you think that it is man-made. And of course, they won't even say global warming anymore. They just want to say climate change because they're not sure if it's getting colder or warmer. When this all started with the first Earth Day back in 1970, we were told that we were headed for a new ice age. Now we're told that we're all going to burn, okay? But look at what NASA is saying. This is some new information here. This is coming from Epoch Times. And NASA says, actually, the Antarctic is gaining ice. They say, we're looking at this, and we're seeing record amounts of ice that are being shed, that are breaking off in the Antarctic. But if you look at the overall picture, you find that record breaking of ice that's coming out of there is because we have a record increase in ice. And so what NASA is saying now is that there is a net increase. So even though we're seeing a large amount of ice coming out, that there's even more that is being made. According to a new analysis of satellite data, the Antarctic ice sheet showed a net gain of 112 billion tons of ice a year from 1992 to 2001. This is NASA speaking. NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. Jay Zwally, a glaciologist with NASA, says that net gain slowed to 82 billion tons of ice per year between 2003 and 2008, but it's still increasing. They say, we're essentially in agreement with other studies show an increase in ice discharge in the Antarctica. He says, our main agreement is for East and disagreement is for East Antarctica and the interior of West Antarctica. There we see an ice gain that exceeds the losses in the other areas. Do you understand that? Again, going back to what I just said, they're seeing an increase in discharge, but overall they're seeing a net gain in ice. And that's when they're looking at it from satellite pictures. Well, there's a lot of things to be afraid of, and we have to sort out what we're going to be afraid of. Quite frankly, I'm a lot more concerned about a UN governance, a climate court, a star chamber that is going to enforce whatever Obama is going to unilaterally decide at the end of this month and the beginning of next month. This is only about a month away. What they've been building for 6 years, this is coming to a climax. With the Pope coming here, with everyone going to Paris for this climate summit change, we need to be very afraid of what is going to come out of this. But there's other areas that we need to be concerned about as well. One of those is the attack on our free speech. And it was about 10 days or so ago that we had Ron Paul here talking to Alex Jones. And I think it's worthwhile to listen to what Ron Paul said again about the attacks on free speech and to consider that the real danger that we see coming at us on these attacks on the First Amendment.
There is so much I want to ask former congressman and, of course, medical doctor Ron Paul about what's happening currently in our world, the race for the speakership, the Tea Party rebellion that he and others helped create, the situation in Syria, the rapidly degrading economy, but also political persecution. And I wanted to cover this first. Ted Cruz came out and said that he's worried about internet freedom, that there's major talk about censoring the internet in the Senate. Matt Drudge was on with us, giving us an exclusive interview a few weeks ago, saying that he talked face-to-face with a Supreme Court justice at dinner that said they've got the votes, they're coming to restrict free speech next year. Hillary has now announced that if she's elected, she will try for a national gun buyback and a repeal of the Second Amendment. That's actually a quote. So the statements are very bold right now, and we're seeing a massive continued IRS persecution of conservative and libertarian groups. I wanted to not so much ask Ron Paul his view of this. I mean, I want to do that. I also wanted to ask him what we should do. I mean, I think it shows how effective the liberty movement is that the system wants to silence us. But at the same time, I think we have to address this and really discuss how we're supposed to respond to it. Because Matt Drudge said he's been told by high-level government folks the persecution's about to kick into high gear.
Okay, hang on. We're going to be right back, and we're going to have Ron Paul's response to the problem that Alex Jones just laid out. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host this hour. Alex is going to be joining us in the next hour to talk about the implications of this jet that was Russian jet that was taken down over Egypt. All 224 on board lost. It appears now it's reported that it exploded in midair. So Alex is going to be joining us in the next hour to talk about that. We were just playing a part of Alex's interview with Ron Paul, and Alex had laid out the challenges and the problems confronting us with the attacks on the First Amendment, and we were right up to the point where Ron Paul was going to come back. So I want to pick that up and get Ron Paul's answer to the problem of the attacks on the First Amendment. Here's Ron Paul.
You know, when I left Congress a couple years ago, I listed several things that I thought were the greatest danger to us. And the top one was freedom of expression, the First Amendment. Because if we're not allowed to express ourselves, it makes it so difficult for us to compete with the propagandas from our government and from the media. So I think that it is crucial. But, you know, we are so hypocritical when it comes to our government because they pretend that we should support the issue of knowing the truth and knowing what's going on with government. And we even write laws to protect the whistleblowers who are telling us the truth. But now we have numerous whistleblowers that are put in prison, you know, if they tell the truth. Matter of fact, the real irony is the chairman of the agency that's supposed to be in charge of protecting all the whistleblowers, he got fired because he told the truth about the whistleblower program. It really doesn't work. Now, this is getting worse, and there's a lot going on right now. But, you know, just recently when we read about the death of Aaron Schiff, he was actually in prison and killed by our government because he spoke out about the unconstitutionality of the way taxes were being collected. And it wasn't so much that he was not a violent person. He wasn't for anarchy or anything else. And I don't think he ever said the statement that there should be no taxes either. But because he said what the government was doing was unconstitutional, and the government told him, you're not allowed to talk about that, and he did. And when he was 77, they put him in jail for 14 more years and literally, I think, killed him, you know, because it was a death sentence and it was a life sentence, and he didn't get his medical care. So that's how ruthless the government is. Now, in Aaron Schiff, I think, is a good lesson because what was he saying? He was challenging the financing of a government that's runaway. So the same way, if somebody tells us the truth about what's going on in the Middle East and how we have involved ourselves in these wars illegally and lied ourselves into these wars, our presidents have, you know, they can't tolerate that. They cannot tolerate the truth about our foreign policy. They cannot tolerate the truth about why they are ruthless in collecting taxes. And they're not going to tolerate the truth about how the Federal Reserve is run. That's why I always believe that the Federal Reserve, if everybody knew about it, and more people know about it now than ever before, if the people knew about it, they wouldn't support the Federal Reserve. And fortunately, there's a lot of people waking up. But so much is done in secret. The bailouts are done in secret. So it's secret government that is the real issue. And when you talk about the ultimate secrets of government, then you become an enemy of the state. And when you have an empire, truth is treason in the empire of lies. And right now, people are considered treasonous if they start telling us the plain truth about what our government's doing to us.
That's right. Ron Paul, LibertyReport.com, one of many powerful sites. He's doing syndicated radio vignettes, daily television, reaching millions of people. And that's why they're coming in and wanting to censor and wanting to control and wanting to shut down competition, because we're peacefully taking action. Irwin Schiff that died, Peter Schiff, frequent guest here, one of the top advisors, of course, to Ron Paul's campaign previously on economics. His dad was still chained down even when he couldn't speak anymore, and they basically wouldn't give him any medical care, and he died after spending 13 of a 14-year prison sentence. And I remember it was in the Las Vegas Review-Journal when the judge said in the courtroom, I remember covering it on air when he first went to prison 13 years ago, you know, you were told don't sell this book anymore. You were told don't give speeches anymore. So I'm going to send you to prison for the maximum sentence. So they admittedly sent him to prison and then killed him in prison, as you said, Ron Paul, and you're a medical doctor speaking to this, for his speech. And that's where America has gotten to, where I've now had feds contact me, multiple feds, and tell me that the word is I shut up or they're going to set me up. And that's where this country's come to. And it's very, very sad.
Exactly. And as an example of that, we just had the first CIA agency officer to be imprisoned for leaking classified information to a reporter, John Kiriakou, was in North Carolina. And I saw, as he was being introduced, a statement of Christina Kaudger, a board member of the North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture. She said, morally, the U.S. has gone down a very ugly path. This is another part of our efforts to reach out to the public and say, we don't want this country to be a country that secretly tortures people in our name and then pushes it under the rug. Because you see, if you're somebody like John Kiriakou who exposes the torture, then he's the one who goes to jail. Not the torturers, not the people who manage the program, but the person who blows the whistle. And of course, they do it openly, just as they assassinate now openly. They used to be ashamed of their assassinations. Now they brag about it. Remember, it was just last week that we read the story from the Daily Beast And they interviewed and followed on a daily routine a female drone assassin, talking about how cool it was that she could kill from 8,000 miles away. Because I guess, you know, if you're feminist, you can be a macho killer, and that's a really cool thing now. But that's what we're seeing even from the left, pushing this unconstitutional, this criminal actions of our government, criminalizing anybody exposing any wrongdoing and never changing anything, just as we see from Hillary Clinton. And, of course, they're admitting now that even though there's been several hundred classified documents, she's too big to jail. That's what the people who have defended the whistleblowers say. They say, yeah, they're going to send us to jail just like they prosecuted and persecuted Thomas Drake over non-classified documents. But Hillary Clinton can have 600-plus documents so far, and that's just they're going to be releasing these every couple of months for the next year. But so far, they've already found over 600. But, of course, she's too big to go to jail. And we're going to talk about what's going on with the presidential race a little bit. It's what Maureen Dowd calls the Brooks Brothers Game of Thrones. Before we get to that, I want to let you know that we got 25% off the Liver Cleanse Pack right now for this week only. At InfoWarsLife.com, you can get the Liver Cleanse Pack at 25% off of the retail price. What that includes is Oxy Powder as well as Liver Shield. You can find the instructions on how to do a liver cleanse at InfoWarsLife.com. Read the 5-star reviews. Take the 25% off of Liver Cleanse Pack at InfoWarsLife.com while supplies last. And that's not going to last much longer. Now, there's an article on New York Times. It was from Maureen Dowd, and I thought it was really, really funny. Drudge linked to this, and the way it begins, it says, Jeb dragging his wilted exclamation point around, because he's got that logo that looks like a cartoon logo, and just to generate excitement, because he's such an exciting guy, they put an exclamation point behind it, but I guess it just really kind of underscores how desperately he needs some kind of artificial enthusiasm. Certainly doesn't help his gravitas to have a cartoon logo. But she put it this way. She says, it's a Brooks Brothers Game of Thrones. The patriarch of the Bush clan once told me, sent a funny satire referring to himself and Barbara as the old king and queen, as W as the King George of Crawford, and Jeb as the Earl of Tallahassee. She says at 91, Bush 41 is living to see hoping that he'll see Jebby become president, but he's mystified by a world in which Trump, who he considers to be a clown, could dethrone the crown prince. Well, you know, maybe it's because Trump is more in tune with what the people want than Jeb is. Jeb is absolutely not interested in anything that the American people want. He's trying to sell open borders. He's not offering any solutions to anything, as most of the Republican candidates aren't. I just saw this come out from Trump. He laid out a plan to reform the VA, the Veteran Affairs. And it's incredibly simple. And we have to ask, why can't the other candidates do something this simple? What is this groundbreaking brainstorm that Donald Trump had? Well, it was just simply this. We don't have to have all the veterans go to the VA. If the VA won't set up sufficient capacity or can't set up sufficient capacity, just treat it like an insurance program. Let them go somewhere else. The VA can compete with private hospitals to do this. Is that rocket science? Do we need a brain surgeon to come up with this? Well, actually, the brain surgeon didn't come up with it. It's a good plan. I'm glad to see that Trump did that. Like I've said many times, I don't support the man, but we need to have solutions come out of this. That's one of the positive things that can come out of a presidential campaign. Stay with us when we come back. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour to talk about the shooting of a Russian airliner over Egypt and the loss of all on board. What are the implications of that? We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Radio Show. I'm David Knight, and joining us now is Alex Jones to talk about what's going on with the potential of ISIS having shot down a Russian airliner over the Sinai in Egypt. Alex?
That's right, David. I'll be here with you for this segment, the next. And, of course, I'll be back hosting all of next week with the weekday transmission, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. But just listening to all the news David covered, we'll be going back over some of that coming up the next segment as well. But clearly, this airliner has been reported to have been blown up in midair after taking off from Egypt to fly into Russia with a bunch of tourists, 240-plus people killed, the worst Russian airline disaster on record for the number of people. And ISIS, of course, came out and took responsibility. The Russians said it's too soon to know, but clearly planes just don't blow up and then get strewn over several miles of wreckage, just like Flight 93. And this is the type of soft target that we're going to see getting hit by Western-backed ISIS and al-Nusra and others. That's why even RT is reporting, but I'll just go off what they say. The evidence is clear. They're sending in U.S. Special Forces to keep that conduit out of Iraq, right through the middle of Syria, up to the north, open. If you look at the maps, that's where al-Qaeda, ISIS is in control, and clearly our military is being sent in as shields. So that the Russians dare not target those areas. This is a true proxy war. We've been saying that for 4 years. Now mainstream media admits it's a proxy war, and it's just really despicable to see this happening. And then, of course, these very same al-Qaeda ISIS forces undoubtedly are going to end up targeting. In fact, this could have not just been a bomb on board the plane. This could have been a missile of some type fired from the ground, because we know that during the Benghazi situation, and in subsequent events, surface-to-air missiles, heat seekers, you name it, have been transferred to al-Qaeda, al-Nusra, now known as Islamic State. So it's too soon to 100% know, but obviously the evidence is all pointing towards this being a terrorist event. Some would say, well, maybe Russia did a false flag. Russia already has the moral high ground going in there. This is definitely a threat at the civilian aviation, another economic warfare tactic like the Saudis threatened. During the Olympics last year, they said if the Russians kept being involved in Syria, that they would engage in terrorism against transportation and their borders. And this, of course, is Russian transportation. So I think all the evidence, the motive, the background in a proxy war points towards the Saudi Arabian-backed Islamic State, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda type fronts and groups. And we'll come back from break in a moment, get David's take on all this and flesh it out more. But now there's new videos out that show that Islamic State is putting women in giant cages on the backs of trucks right by their artillery and their anti-aircraft systems so that the Russians bomb it. They'll be killing non-radical Alawite, basically Sufi, mystic type Muslims that aren't involved in any violence or criminal activity. Then a group targeted by the bizarre cult that runs Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabis, for total extermination. People think a lot of these radical Muslims want to kill Christians more than anybody or Jews. That's actually not the truth. They want to dominate other Muslims. And really, it's just a giant mafia battle with each other over who controls things. And that ties into this latest video that's up on Infowars.com. Caught on video, German Muslim says, Islam is coming and your daughters will wear the, how do you say that, hijab? H-I-J-A-B, I guess that's the hood. The bag over the head that feminists here in America lust after and desire more than anything. And then that ties back into the political correctness that we're going to look at when we come back. And Bill Maher comes out and says, it's stupid that the left wants to ban people, as, you know, in mariachi bands, and ban people, you know, as Caitlyn Jenner, where folks are just having fun. Well, this is just the old establishment left controlling the dialectic, like they're in opposition to what they've helped create, this cult of brainwash control. So we'll look at it all straight ahead with David Knight, co-hosting here with us on this live Sunday worldwide broadcast. Hard to believe it's November 1st. 2015, only 2 months left of 2015, and it's 2016 and beyond.
You have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight in studio. Joining us now is Alex Jones. We've been talking in the last segment. We've been talking about this Russian airliner that was shot down over the Sinai. All 224 people on board lost. What is behind that? Well, as Alex is pointing out, they've been using ISIS as a surrogate in these wars throughout the Middle East. Of course, we know that Muslim migrants are being used as a surrogate to bring down our economies. At the same time, some of the stories we're going to cover later in this hour. German village of 102 braces for 750 asylum seekers. There you go. About 8 to 1. For every person that's there in that small village, they're going to bring in 8 Muslims. And most of the Muslims are male, about 25 to 35 years of age. This is something that the Hungarian prime minister has said is a deliberate effort by George Soros and others to undermine these countries. So we see in so many different ways, the globalist agenda is using Muslim terrorist surrogates. And we want to go back to Alex Jones and get his take on these two stories here, as well as the shooting down of the airliner over the Sinai. Alex?
Here on air, the fact that radical Islam, and this isn't an excuse for radical Islam, it's just a fact that Western think tanks and others have been working with radical Islam, funding it, protecting it, letting it take over different countries that are Islamic around the world, not just the Middle East or North Africa, but also in Asia. And this is the type of totalitarianism that they can use to then buffalo and defeat a politically correct West that is trained to lower its defenses and basically put up with anything and everything that is alien to our culture. The only thing that we're told is bad is Americana culture. And so the feminist groups never dare say a word about the fact that Islamic State, there's video of this up on Infowars.com right now, U.S.-backed moderate rebels put Alawite women, that's a non-radical Muslim group, in cages to protect themselves from airstrikes, posted photos of 6 kidnapped Alawite women on Twitter. And these guys are very, very, very proud. This proxy army out of Saudi Arabia, funded by NATO and our own government, is very, very proud of what they're doing. There's other video that people can see that caught on video. German Muslim, Islam is going, is coming. Islam is coming, and your daughters will wear the headdress, will wear the hood or the hijab. So here's the issue. We're not in these countries telling them what culture they will adopt. We have the EU lowering the borders, then advertising everything's free, and then bringing in all of these illegals, same thing here in the United States, and then having big foundations like the Ford Foundation and the Open Societies Foundation, all these groups by Soros, radicalize them to not want to assimilate, but to be basically weird political chip on the shoulder, broken coalition, politically correct mental patients. And there's another video up on Infowars.com by the article you mentioned. A German town of 100 gets encircled by 750 migrants, and they tell them, you must give them your homes, you must take them in, you must pay for them. This is slavery. And it doesn't matter how bad it is. But now we have folks in Germany, and there's video of this, demanding, saying, quote, entitled illegals, this is an article by Kurt Nemo, entitled illegals, when will I get my house and my car? Well, just as soon as you get your free health care, buddy. This is all a scam. So the smugglers and the media and the socialist governments all tell them you're going to get everything free. You're going to get your blonde German wife, and you're going to get your free car and everything as soon as you get there. And some people do, so they can advertise you're getting these free goods. Really, they then bring them in and then use them as a political underclass to vote the way the globalists want and checkmate the indigenous populations, but also to work as a servant class in menial jobs, basically housed in ghettos. So they're exploiting these Muslim illegal invaders. My issue is our Western governments helped cause the collapse of Libya and, for a time, Egypt and, of course, Syria and Iraq. Most of these, and this has been in the news, they admitted, most of the so-called migrants are not real refugees of the Western wars. As you said, they are young Muslim men from Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Palestine, you name it, getting fake passports, 70%+ they admit are fake, and just going to al-Qaeda-controlled, ISIS-controlled areas in Syria to then be basically taken into Turkey through that conduit through the middle of the nation the Russians are trying to cut off. So it's not just arms flooding through there, it's the refugee invasion, David, that you were mentioning. So the al-Qaeda radical Islamic forces are the skeleton key that opens every lock for the New World Order. The al-Qaeda and radical Islam is the sword globalist. And then again, they use it to menace us to take our liberties and our basic freedoms by threatening more of these attacks. Oh, we'll take your rights to keep you safe from this. It's crystal clear. And now Vladimir Putin has come out and exposed that the West runs this and is being destabilized the world. He came out last week and said carbon taxes is to shut down all free economies selectively, and is basically military-style genocide. So what's happened is Russia is fully breaking with the globalist agenda. The globalists tried to launch their agenda in 1917 in Russia. Russia was meant to be controlled by them. Russia got out of their control. The oligarchs came back in. They kicked the oligarchs back out. Russia isn't perfect, but Russia is at least not committing cultural suicide and not pushing political correctness. I mean, I watch Bill Maher and all these people like Obama come out and say, it's okay for somebody to dress as Caitlyn Jenner for Halloween. Forget the holiday of Halloween, Samhain, Samhain, the occult, whatever all that means. Separately, if they can tell you what costume you can have and have people henpeck you about it, again, it's a war on language, a war on expression, a war on creativity, just a war on... I went to my cousin's birthday party last night, and so I wore a captain's hat because he rented a barge to go up and down the river, and we got off. I went to a club with him afterwards, and I was wearing a captain's hat. And I had not once but twice, one case an Arab, I guess minority you call them, and another case a white guy come over and say, are you a Nazi? And there I was wearing a blue shirt, gray pants, and a captain's hat. And I looked at him and I said, you know, can you see right there? That's a captain's hat. And they said, oh, because I just want to make sure, you know, that you're not. And I said, really, is this like your little power trip to go over and henpeck me? And I gave this big speech about political correctness and how it's a mental illness, that people don't have any real culture or real ideas. They just have to sit there and foist it on you. And then I had these, you know, these women going, wow, ooh, ooh, hear more of this. It was really funny. And this particular guy felt like an idiot. And I had another guy come up later and do it. And so this is what they are. It's aggressive, nobody people that just want to take any word, any culture, any sound, the word T-O-O-O or T-O-O, the feminists want to ban that, brown paper bags, geisha girls, you know, mariachi bands. People now are saying mariachi bands themselves are racist. You know, this just goes on and on. It is an attack on the mentally ill, dumbed down TV head generation. And that's why InfoWars.com and what we do and what the new media does against the traitor media, the enemy media, is so essential, because there is a crisis of conscience happening. The globalists know we're waking up, so they're killing our currencies, flooding our borders, trying to bankrupt us, funding terrorists, but the world's waking up to it. So that's the incredible positive news. David, you're doing a great job. I'll be back hosting all this week, right through next Sunday, the next six shows I'll be hosting. I appreciate you coming in today so I can spend time with my family. So you're missing time with your family. I appreciate the audience and the listeners. But again, they need to be over the top to break our will, to make us submit to them. But that's not working. And I heard you earlier mention the article from New American Magazine on InfoWars.com. It's so important to get out. Stealth agenda, new UN tribunal to judge U.S. for climate debt. See, if they can't get the carbon tax, it's just going to be a climate debt, a bail-in, literally paid $100 trillion every decade is the Soros plan to George Soros and others. Folks, we're not this stupid. We're not going to put up with this. We're going to spread the word, defeat every leg of their agenda, and the fight will continue on. We have to win, win, win over and over again, but that's the animating contest. David Knight's coming back, and I'm Alex Jones signing off. Great job, crew, sponsors, listeners, and thank God for this transmission being available.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this November 1st, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. Alex Jones was just breaking down what's going on in the Middle East using Islamic jihadists as surrogates. And of course, that's what's going on internally inside of Europe as well. And we have a lot of migrants coming into this country with our open borders that are not just coming from Central and South America for the same purpose. And I want to get back to that. as well as this story about what's going on in Germany, because Germany has been set up by Angela Merkel as the pot of gold incentivizing this mass migration of many people coming in. That opens up the borders to this massive number of people coming into Europe, going through the Balkan states, but the ultimate destination is Sweden and Germany. That's where they will find the socialist welfare state most welcoming. We had an article on Infowars.com, and it was in French, but the French people heard Muslims who were singing jihadi songs, and the French people there were applauding them, welcoming them in, not understanding at all what is going on, what's behind all of this. And so we're going to try to break that down for you. It's a multifaceted agenda, but it is all about globalism. I want to get back to that, but first, before we do, I want to let you know that we have Super Male Vitality back in stock. You can find that at InfowarsLife.com. It's something that sells out very quickly, but right now, Super Male Vitality is in stock. The Ultra Strength formula with organic herbs and acids that will help to increase your energy. You can read the reviews there at InfowarsLife.com. We also have 25% off the Liver Cleanse Pack. That special is about to run out. And again, the Liver Cleanse Pack is Liver Shield as well as the Oxygen Colon Cleanser Oxy Powder. You can get the two of those together and get that at 25% off at InfowarsLife.com. Now, what we were just talking about, what's going on using jihadis, using people who are non-combatants as shields, that really kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week with the pushback saying that the Russians had attacked. First, it was just a couple hospitals, and they said, well, it's 3 to 5 hospitals and 7 to 9 hospitals. And the Russians came back and said, show us your evidence for this. You're making these claims. Show us the evidence. I believe that it was a pushback against the sustained attack on a hospital by U.S. and Afghan forces in Kunduz that went on for a half hour. It was a hospital that was known, that was reported to both the Afghan and the U.S. government. And as that attack began, it wasn't an isolated stray bomb attack. No, this was a sustained attack for 30 minutes. And as that went on, both the Pentagon as well as the Afghan government were notified that the attack was happening, but it was a sustained attack. So they took a lot of international hits for that. And I think the American government and NATO forces pushed back with some claims that they have not substantiated about attacks on hospitals by Russians in Syria. Instead of fixing it again, they attack the whistleblowers. They don't ever change the criminal actions or even apologize for it. They're not even setting up an investigation of this, as Doctors Without Borders have asked. That's all they wanted. They didn't want a war crimes prosecution. They just wanted an investigation. Give us answers. How could this have happened? Why would you do a sustained attack? Instead, what they did was they showed up at the site, they destroyed evidence, and then they created a narrative that the Russian forces had been attacking hospitals in a similar manner. Look at what's going on in Germany, because it's not just in Syria where they're using jihadi forces as surrogates in a war there. Of course, they're using Islamic migrants coming out of Syria, but also coming out of many other places in the Middle East, using them as surrogates for what we know is a Cloward and Piven strategy. Remember, those were the two sociologists from the 1960s that wanted to overload the entitlement system specifically to cause a crash so that they could build their socialist utopia. You would think, wouldn't you, that socialists would want to have a entitlement system that works? No, they deliberately wanted to overload it. Well, what better way to do that than to bring in massive numbers of people? And of course, this is exactly what we're seeing in Germany. A German village of 102 braces for 750 asylum seekers. It was originally 1,000. They were told in early October. The district government informed the mayor of this small town by email that his village of 102 people, just over the border of what was once communist East Germany, would have to take in 1,000 asylum seekers. His wife told the mayor, said, "This has got to be a hoax. This certainly can't be true. Such a small, isolated place would be asked to accommodate nearly 10 times as many migrants as it had residents." She thought it was a joke, he said, but it wasn't. This is a report from the New York Times. They say, in a small concession, the regional office told them last week that, no, you won't have to take 1,000. We'll limit that to 750. So it won't be 10 times the number of people that live there. We'll just send in 8 times the number of people that live there. They say the only person, in fact, that seems to be enthusiastic about this plan is a neo-Nazi on the district council. He says, this is bad for the people, but politically it's good for me, because he knows that people are going to get angry about this. But the German government doesn't care. People understand the fix is in. People understand that they're trying to pull down the government, not only in Germany, but in the United States. But most of our elected leaders, people that are running for office even now, most of the Republicans and Democrats could care less about this. And they go on and point out the small town of Sumte has no shops, no police station, no school. The initial number of arrivals was, in fact, reduced to avoid straining the local sewage system and give time for new pumps to be installed. Yeah, yeah. That's a literal when it hits the fan scenario. And that's what they're creating. This article from WND talks about thousands of Muslim migrants who've disappeared now from the camp. So here's this little town that has 100 people. They have to take in 750 migrants. But these migrants are disappearing from the larger centers. They point out that in Brandenburg shelters, 7,000 migrants have disappeared. So where are they going? Who's sheltering the illegals? Do they have ties to ISIS? They don't know. Then a newspaper, Die Welt, is reporting that thousands of refugees have left their assigned accommodations elsewhere. They say on Wednesday alone, more than 600 people left the welcoming center in another area. And the Potsdam Ministry of the Interior reported this. A German news outlet, Faz.net, headlined, refugees disappearing from lodging. This is in Lower Saxony. They said 700 refugees disappeared from emergency accommodations there. So all over the country, these migrants who are coming in, and many people question whether or not they're fleeing from the war in Syria. They're coming from different places. They're all about the same age. They're not families, but mostly young men that are coming in. So what is the solution to this? Well, they're now being told that the UN is partnering with a private company to offer a solution. See, problem, solution. Here's their solution, a new universal identification system that will comply with the UN's sustainability goal of getting legal biometric IDs that include iris scans, photographs, and fingerprints into, quote, the hands of everyone in the world by the year 2050. Yeah, they're going to get into your hands, and they're going to record the hands of everyone in the world by 2050. So over and over again, we see that they're using this crisis in order to bring in their solution. And the Prime Minister of Hungary has specifically called out George Soros. He said, Soros's name is perhaps the strongest example of those who support anything that weakens the nation states. They support everything that changes the traditional European lifestyle. These activists who support immigrants inadvertently become part of the international human smuggling network. No, it's about taking down national borders. When we come back, I'm going to take some of your calls. 877-789-ALEX. That's 2539. If you don't know what Alex is, 877-789-2539. We'll be right back.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Sunday, November 1st, 2015. We're going to go to your calls here in just a moment. The number is 877-789-ALEX. That's 877-789-2539 if you'd like to call in with a comment this last half hour. Before we do, I want to continue with what I was just talking about just briefly. Again, the situation where you have thousands, literally thousands of migrants who have come into Germany for the welfare system, or some of them would be escaping what's going on in Syria, but most of them are between the ages of 18 and 25, and they're disappearing by the thousands. So the solution that they're telling everybody is a UN-approved biometric tracking device. We see that solution being applied to here in the United States. We have open borders. They're not going to do anything about the incentives to bring people in. They're not going to try to close or enforce the borders. Instead, what they're going to do is offer us all a national identity. That's going to be the solution they're going to come up with. You can see this article on Infowars.com. Coming soon from the Department of Transportation, a national address database and insights into the way that you drive personally. Okay? Now, this is coming from Next.gov. They report the Department of Transportation Chief Technology Officer Maria Rowett is talking, and she says that they're collecting information. It's a multi-year effort to gather information about driving patterns using onboard sensors and video cameras. These tests have generated 4 petabytes of data, she said. They're collected from test drivers who spend about 1 million hours and about 2,000 cars. Well, they're going to be collecting that data real time on everybody before too long. They're putting out regulations for vehicle-to-vehicle communication, talking cars. And they're going to be talking and broadcasting information about you, who you are, where you are, what you're doing, how you drive. What do you think the government's going to do with that information? Tickets? Insurance rates? Of course. But there's other things as well. She says, it says in this article that she updated the audience on DOT's attempts to build a national database containing citizens' addresses. She says, I don't think people realize we don't have any national address database yet. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to work with the Census Bureau and with geospatial agencies to create one. Geospatial agencies. Who would that be? Geospatial intel. Are you familiar with that term? We talked about that in light of Jade Helm. Everybody said, well, you know, what's this about? What's mastering the human domain? Well, geospatial intelligence organizations, trade organizations, have run conferences on mastering the human domain. They want to know your activity-based intelligence. They want to know where you go, who you see, what you do. They're going to have to collect that using information on the literal information highway when they start spying on you on the roads. And, of course, the ultimate goal is human control. Controlling your car or other legislation like gun control, that's not about controlling inanimate objects. This is not about even self-driving cars. This is about making sure that they control your movements, that they track your movements. That's what we should be concerned about. Then, of course, the open borders are the means to drive people to it. Just as the open borders combined with an entitlement state, the two of them work together like Thelma and Louise to accelerate the car over the cliff economically. That's where this is all headed. And before we get to your calls, again, there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about because we've had some movements here with some billionaires making their moves as to which candidates they're going to support. And you need to understand that, you know, we had this back and forth about fantasy football on the debate the other day, and there was a question to Jeb Bush about whether or not that should be regulated. And, of course, his response is always, oh, yes, it should be regulated. He doesn't have any specifics. But his knee-jerk reaction to all this is, yes, there should be a law. Remember that? That kind of attitude is what's gotten us into the kind of society we have today. I remember there was a time when I was very young, there was an expression in America called, well, it's a free country, isn't it? Do what you want, right? You don't hear that anymore, but that was replaced by, yeah, there ought to be a law against that. Well, you know, that's kind of what Jeb Bush came back. And then you had Chris Christie saying, I can't believe with all the problems that we've got that we're talking about fantasy football. It was a very powerful moment. Very powerful. Except that, as Huffington Post points out, Chris Christie raised funds off of fantasy football just last month. They have a link to his fundraiser off of fantasy football. So he's not above using that. But you know what? It's not even really about fantasy football. It was part of that was about gambling, online gambling. And, of course, that was him posturing himself for support from Sheldon Adelson. Sheldon Adelson is a big casino owner in Nevada. He's a big player in the Republican Party. And he is against any kind of online gambling, and that would include fantasy football or fantasy sports. He wants everybody to do all of their gambling at his casinos. He doesn't like to have any competition from any kind of recreational vice. That's one of the reasons that he opposed even medical marijuana in Florida. And, of course, Jeb and Marco Rubio were opposing it along with him. He was virtually the entire budget of the opposition to medical marijuana. And that's what they're doing in order to get his support. They talk about the Sheldon primary, the amount of money that he's going to give whoever he chooses. Well, Marco Rubio has landed a big billionaire. And this is very important because you need to understand that you may be following politics, but you're really kind of doing it in a fantasy football way. It's really the billionaires who own the players. You just pay for the stadium. That's your only involvement. So you can kind of watch passively, you can pay for the stadium, but they're going to pick the players. And there was a New Yorker satire about this. Billionaire Paul Singer has thrown his support to Marco Rubio for president. And the way they reported it was billionaire acquires Rubio pending physical. They say in the biggest free agency acquisition of the 2016 presidential contest, the billionaire investor Paul Singer has acquired Florida Senator Marco Rubio for a rumored 8-figure sum pending a physical. Just hours after the deal was inked, Rubio was flown by private jet to Singer's training facility in East Hampton, where the senator will submit to a series of grueling drills before the deal is finalized. "We're making a four-year deal with Marco with an option for another four," said an associate of Singer's. "We like what we've seen of him on tape, but we want to be sure that he has what it takes to go the distance." According to those familiar with Singer's physical workouts for political candidates, Rubio will submit to a series of demanding tests in which the billionaire will bark commands and the senator will be measured for his reaction times and his accuracy. In other words, how high he'll be able to jump when the billionaire barks the commands to him. And so I thought that was a great satire piece. But you know what? It's really true, unfortunately. Because the serious piece doesn't read that much differently from the New York Times. Paul Singer, influential billionaire, throws his support to Marco Rubio for president. They say it's a signal victory for Rubio in his battle with rival Jeb Bush for the affections of major Republican patrons. And as they point out, Rubio, who was elected to the Senate in the Tea Party wave, has since, however, been embraced by the party's Washington elite. See? He was brought in to help change things. That's what the Tea Party was really about. It was about pushing back on crony capitalism, on the way that it's business as usual with the Boehners and McConnells and Pelosi's. And what do we get? We get the Paul Ryanos. We get the Marco Rubios. That's what we get. And we get people like this billionaire whose major issues are being passionately pro-Israel and a supporter of same-sex marriage. Those core Republican issues. There you go. And again, like Sheldon Adelson, he is a pro-Israel supporter and somebody who wants to shut down all competition to his gambling. It's been said that an election is an advanced auction of stolen goods, and that's precisely what this is. And when you look at the rest of the field, it isn't much better. We look at Ted Cruz. The Washington Post pointed out, for all of his bashing of billionaire Republican donors who actively despise our base, the anti-establishment senator from Texas is being bolstered by his own robust base of wealthy contributors. Cruz raised $5.2 million through the end of September from supporters who gave him the $2,700 maximum, making him number two in the GOP race for large donors, following only behind Jeb. Well, see, it's not working out too well for Jeb. And one of the reasons that Jeb is having to lay off staff and can't pay the staff is because he doesn't have any control of the Superfund money. That's where the billionaires are really putting their money. Nobody is contributing directly to his campaign, individuals. Instead, it's the super PACs. That's where he got hundreds of millions of dollars. But he doesn't control that. He can't pay his staff from it. And you know what? He can't control what they're going to tell him to do. He's in their control. Stay with us when we come back. We're going to go right to your phone calls.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. We have one more segment, and I want to get to as many phone calls as we can. I want to go through these quickly. Let's go to Mark in San Jose. Mark, you said you have a breaking story about a young girl that was beaten in the area?
You're killing them, David. You people rock. Everyone on InfoWars absolutely rocks.
Well, thank you.
Keep it up. No, thank you. And thank all you people. I'm telling you. But there's this a story. NBC got it right for once. There's somebody decent that works for NBC, Vicky Nguyen, here in San Jose. And she was interviewing this mother who, oh, my, her four-year-old kid was placed into this foster home, right? And they found bite marks all over her body, burn marks, bruises.
Oh, my.
And she took a picture, 100 pictures, David, went to the CPS and the child, social workers and showed them the pictures. And they basically waved her on and said, get out of here. We don't want to hear about it. I mean, it's incredible.
Yes.
And so I called the tip line. And can I give my last name at NBC? Is it okay if I give my last name?
What's that? Yeah, it'd be better if you didn't. It'd be better if you didn't, yeah. Just because it might be, okay. You know, just because we can't verify that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Okay, but I did run for city council. I'm fairly well known in San Jose as the write-in candidate in, I think it was 210. But anyway, I left a tip on the NBC tip line to call me because I know this private investigator named Doug Millar that for 23 years he's investigated crimes against children covered up by law enforcement. And if they can interview Doug Millar, it will blow this case wide open because he also worked with Senator John DeCamp, who wrote the Franklin cover-up. I know Alex Jones interviewed Senator John DeCamp. And this thing is Nancy Schaefer was the reason Nancy Schaefer was killed was she had decided to totally demolish the Child Protective Services in Georgia because she found out they were filled full of pedophiles.
Oh, yeah.
And raping kids. Yeah.
Well, just look at what's happened in the UK. You know, we've had situations there with the comedian, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. Multiple cover-ups by both the BBC as well as Scotland Yard. People lower down would start to investigate it, and then people higher up would shut down the investigation or shut down the reporting. And so we see that happening over and over again. Or look at the situation with Dennis Hastert. I mean, we see people complaining about the fact that they came after him and got him for, they prosecuted him for withdrawing his own money. Okay, I understand. That is not, should not be a crime. But the narrative that we're being fed is that this guy supposedly was a child molester. That he was being blackmailed for something that he did when he was a high school coach. But then decades after that, he somehow became completely sanitized when he became a congressman. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That never happens with child pedophiles. That's why we have a sex registry, because we want to record particularly child pedophiles because we know that they never stop. They never stop. But, of course, we have this statute of limitations that keeps them from being prosecuted. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on in high places in the U.S. government. And I think if we looked beyond this plea bargaining deal with Dennis Hastert, we would see something that has been going on in the last couple of decades while he's there. This is a guy who was a high school coach. He had no net worth when he became a congressman, essentially. And then he leaves after 20 years with about $18 million, $17 or $18 million. He's making like $1 million a year increase net after all of his expenses. I mean, the salary is only a little over $100,000 to be a congressman, but this guy made $1 million a year. What's going on with that? That's a whole nother level. So, yeah, thank you, Mark. Keep in touch with us. Send a tip to the writers as this develops, if this looks like this is something that is systemic, and we've seen that over and over again with CPS. Thank you for calling. I want to give some of the other callers a chance to get in. Let's go to Taylor in Michigan. You had some information about refugees in Hanover, Germany. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just came across an article on beforeitsnews.com, and it's a new video that just came out. It really portrays the Clower-Tivin nature of the Balkanization in Europe right now. It shows Muslim migrants in the streets of Hanover, Germany, marching through the streets with the ISIS flag, claiming the land for Allah, and you know, showing their true colors now that they've gained asylum.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have an article on InfoWars today where they are doing the same thing, essentially, in France. But the French people that are there are pro-immigration, and they're applauding them, and they don't even understand that they're singing jihadi songs, and we're going to take you over, and so forth and so on. They don't even understand what this is about. I mean, it's a perfect metaphor for how clueless the people who support these open borders really are. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the immediate consequences of it, and they don't understand the bigger picture. That is to use open borders, to use the entitlement state, to take down the various nation states so that everyone is taken down to the lowest level, and that allows the people like George Soros to run through this globalist agenda. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Taylor?
I can give you the title of the article if you want.
That's okay. We'll look that up, but thanks for pointing that out. Let's go to Truth Raider. You had a comment about the Department of Transportation. Go ahead.
Hey, David, next time you come up to the Multnomah Valley, give your friend Truth Raider an email at truthraider21@gmail.com, and I'll give you a tour of the Multnomah Valley.
Okay, great. That'd be great. Yeah, I love that. We went up there for vacation, and it was a beautiful area up there. You had something about the Department of Transportation?
Yes. While I'm being railroaded, I had my truck impounded yesterday, and they arrested me at the scene because I didn't provide a physical ID. I mean, your name, address, and birth date does not count.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but they released me at the scene because I informed them, if you do transport me to jail, that is kidnapping.
Yeah, yeah.
So they decided not to do so. But they did impound my truck. Prior to that, they went through it, and they searched illegally in violation of my Fourth Amendment rights.
You say they've impounded it. Is this a civil asset forfeiture situation?
Well, not yet. I can go get it out.
Mm-hmm.
I go get it out if I come up with the funds, come up with a ransom, more or less, to support their system. So I wanted to just let you know what's going on with that.
It's a shame, and you know, we've got an article on Infowars.com today. Justice Scalia warns the U.S. Supreme Court is causing the destruction of our democratic system, and it's not anything new. The only thing is that Scalia is saying these recent decisions on gay marriage and federally subsidized health insurance, they have absolutely no basis in the Constitution, no basis in law. Whether you agree with them or not, they have no basis in the law. It's the idea that we have a living document here, the U.S. Constitution. But I would say that this isn't a slippery slope that started. This is something that we've been living with for nearly 50 years, at least with the war on drugs. And, of course, you can point out with other agencies doing similar things to the DEA, basically destroying the Fourth, Fifth, Sixth Amendment. And just having the war on drugs is a complete violation of the Constitution. There's absolutely nothing in the Constitution that gives the government the power to prohibit anything. Why else would they need to have had an amendment to the Constitution to prohibit alcohol? I mean, at one point in time, we did have people in Washington that at least had respect for the document they swore to. Today, they just ignore it wholesale, and that's what's happening. If they can arrest you, Truth Raider, just for not producing a physical ID, but we see that type of thing all along. Let's go to Ronnie in Spicewood. Ronnie?
Sure. Thank you much. Dr. Rand Paul is now getting a full-blast Dr. Ron Paul treatment, you know, by the lamestream media, and number one, the first thing, they entirely ignore him, Dr. Rand Paul's candidacy, and thus ignore his ideas. And among these include, of course, Dr. Rand Paul actually filibustered against the absurdly counterproductive NDAA, shamefully, mm-hmm. You know, at best, anyway. But he did, you know, more than his share to stand up to it, and he stands up to our own military-industrial bankster media, you know, complex of criminals takeover of our entire world. That's why they hate him. He's the one elected official who actually has the guts to stand up to these truly evil forces.
Exactly. He's pulled up some of the issues that other candidates are not talking about, and that alone would be a great reason to continue his candidacy. Unfortunately, I mean, what do you think about these ridiculous presidential debates? So they never get into anything of substance. They don't even talk about the traditional things that they've talked about, which are focused on what they're going to do to cut spending. They didn't even talk about any spending cuts. I was very disappointed. You're talking about Rand Paul. I was disappointed that the only spending cut that any of the candidates could come up with were things to cut Social Security benefits. And quite frankly, I see that as a contract that they have had with people when they confiscate your income for your entire working life. They say, we're going to give you some pension benefits. I think it is criminal and fraudulent to take those away. Your comment quickly, because we're about out of time.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. But Dr. Rand Paul is just getting a really poor treatment of his ideas, and he does have some.
He has some great ideas, especially on civil liberties, especially on the Constitution and limited government. Well, that's all the time we have today. Join us again tomorrow at 11 Central, noon Eastern, for the Alex Jones Show. Alex Jones will be back here in the studio.